And now, here's Jeff on the WCHL Afternoon News.
Common Science with Jeff Danner, who joins us here in the studio right now. How are you?
I am well.
Have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
That's good. So did I.
Excellent.
And that's our show, everyone. Good night.
Yeah. Signing off and dropping the mic.
So going on in the world of science right now is a train derailment, which you were telling me about earlier today. So I'm going to let you fill in people who don't know about this. But this was a train that was heading to North Carolina,
yeah,
right?
Oh, you know, I didn't know its destination. The derailment was in Washington, D.C.
Up in Washington, D.C., right? It was, I'm scrolling down here, it was... Well, with the computer is freezing on me. There we go. Bound for Hamlet, North Carolina, from Cumberland, Maryland.
Okay. I did not know that part.
I did not know there were trains that ran from or to Hamlet, North Carolina, or for that matter, that there is such a place as Hamlet, North Carolina.
Yeah,
but apparently there is.
That's a fresh learning for me as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just taking one step back, one of the reasons I started...
Taking one step back will take you out of Hamlet, North Carolina.
One of the reasons I started getting involved with Common Science was just some frustration with reporting on science in general. And so every once in a while, I'll be listening to a story or reading a story, and someone nearby will hear me saying, "Oh!" And that was my response
to... The cry of the wild engineer listening to news reporting.
Really? and it's... Well, we'll talk about why that is. So that was my response to the reporting of this train derailment. So in Sunday, just yesterday, I guess early in the morning, a freight train on its way to Hamlet, North Carolina.
Yes, it's apparently right next to Rockingham. So,
oh, that clears it up.
Yeah, Phil Berger knows it well, apparently.
And so it derailed on its way through Washington, D.C., and there were several cars that overturned. At least three of which, leaked some chemicals. So let's just talk about what those were, and then I'll go through my critique of the reporting. So there was some sodium hydroxide that was spilled, some calcium chloride that was spilled, and some ethanol also. So those three chemicals. And about 95% of the, I don't know, reporting,
press coverage.
Press coverage was all on the sodium hydroxide.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a moment. So
Let's focus on the fact that the train derailed, and the vast majority of the press coverage was on the fact that the chemicals spilled in the first place, which I don't even know if that's necessarily... As soon as you hear chemicals spill, that's already like sensationalistic headlines even before we get into anything else. So,
So in no case when this was discussed or reported on, did anyone ever call it a sodium hydroxide solution? I think sodium hydroxide is a solid powder. It's a salt. In fact, if you saw some of it sitting here on the table, it might look a little bit like salt.
Okay.
Right? So it can only spill when it's a sodium hydroxide solution.
Yes.
Now, you might think that's a fine point, but that'll come up again later.
Okay.
And...
Like spill to the point of like leaching into the ground and that kind
of
thing.
I guess you could spill salt. But when they say, you know, the rail car had 15,000
gallons
of sodium hydroxide.
Yeah, that's a liquid.
It's a liquid,
right.
and it's typically dissolved in, and it's convenient to just make a solution out of it, but there's no reason not to call it a sodium hydroxide solution.
Yes.
And sodium hydroxide is a hazardous material, and you and I have talked about it on the air before. If you recall back when we had the injuries of people and pets at Pine Knoll Apartments.
Oh, yes, yeah.
They were using a paint stripping compound that was high in sodium hydroxide, which is a base, and we talked about it at that time that bases which have pHs above 10 can harm you, actually worse than acids. Because it can burrow down into your skin.
Right, right.
So it is a hazardous material, no doubt.
Okay.
But the first time I made that frustrated engineering noise was to hear it described as toxic.
Yes.
And this is so I want to talk about why for a moment.
Yeah.
Because I have this frustration, and people think I'm picky, and I probably am picky, but scientific words have scientific meanings.
Toxic means something
toxic
in particular.
Toxic means something. So let's
talk
about...
I think when people hear the word toxic, they think, oh, if you get it on your skin, it will harm you, and anything that if it gets on your skin, it will harm you is toxic, but that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. So the real scientific definition of toxic is something that is harmful, but it's harmful in a specific way. It's harmful through chemical action on life processes.
Okay.
So let me give you some examples of things that are actually toxic.
Okay.
So carbon monoxide is toxic because when you breathe in carbon monoxide, it displaces the oxygen on your hemoglobin, and you suffocate and die. Mm-hmm. So it's interfering chemically with the life process. Cyanide is toxic. It gets into your cells and it prevents your cells from being able to utilize glucose and make energy. It disrupts one of the enzymes. So it's a chemical process. Those things are toxic.
Yeah.
Plutonium is toxic because it screws up your ability to make DNA correctly.
Okay.
And so I'm listening on the radio and they're calling sodium hydroxide toxic.
Yes.
And that's driving me bonkers. So I thought, well, let me look up. And just as the case always is the time, you go to Merriam-Webster online or any other online dictionary, and it will include the word harmful as a synonym.
Yes.
Well, again, you're removing all of the actual definition of the word, and we can no longer make distinctions if we ruin the word.
Yeah. And we say that this is nitpicky, but this is exactly the same sort of, like, loss of meaning that leads people to say, oh, well, evolution is only a theory, therefore we don't have to listen to it.
And I want to talk about words in a moment, but also they talked a lot about, well, the vapors aren't harmful. Mm-hmm. Well, this is, again, getting back to it's a salt. If you dissolve a salt, any table salt, sodium hydroxide, you dissolve a salt in water, the vapor that comes off is only water.
Yes.
I listened to this long story on the radio about whether or not the vapors might be toxic, and that also drove me a little bit. But
did it give you the vapors?
Yeah, perhaps it did. So I want to just take a brief aside here to try. I'm on a lifelong defense of the word exponential.
Okay.
Which is not really relevant to our train wreck. We'll get back in just a moment, I promise. Okay, but exponential is another scientific word that has a meaning.
Yes.
So let's go through an example. Mm-hmm. Right. It means that at every defined time period, the amount increases or decreases by an order of magnitude.
Right.
So let's talk about money. Mm-hmm. Right. If today you have a dollar.
Right.
And a week from now, you have $10. That's an order of magnitude.
In
another week, you have 100. In another week, you have 1,000.
Right.
That's an exponential rise.
Yes.
Well, again, if you go to good old Merriam-Webster online, it says that exponential is a synonym for rapid.
Yes.
Okay, which is also incorrect.
Yes.
Because, let's do our example again. Now you have a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a million years, you have $10.
Right.
In another million years, you have 100. In another million years, you have 1,000.
That's also exponential, slow,
but is by no means rapid.
Yes.
And so here's my message.
Sometimes you can be rapid without being exponential, like a dollar, and then 5 minutes from now, a second dollar, 5 minutes from now, a third dollar.
Yeah. Almost, an infinitesimal amount, which is another word that has a meaning. rapid increases are exponential.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to defend some words out there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's get back to our train wreck.
Okay. This is a literal train wreck as opposed to...
If you're out there running an online dictionary, try to stick to the definitions. Okay. So let's get back to our train wreck. Our second chemical that was spilled, remember I said the sodium hydroxide got about 95% of the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
The next 4% of the coverage went to the calcium chloride.
Right. Because that also sounds scary.
Which it's not at all.
Right.
It's neither harmful nor toxic.
Mm.
But what I thought was interesting is it is a salt, and it's typically used, it's a salt solution. In fact, when you put it on roads, it's a brine solution, salt solution.
Wait, what constitutes salt? So if we're talking about the meanings of words, I always associate salt with sodium, but this doesn't have sodium in it.
Any salt is a metal that's either, it's a metal, a metal cation associated with an anion that's dissolved in water.
Oh, so, okay.
Sodium hydroxide, calcium chloride.
Okay.
They're all salts.
Gotcha.
Dissolved metal compounds.
Dissolved metal. Okay.
Right? Well, all of the reporting on calcium chloride that I read, and I read probably 10 or 15 articles to make sure that I had a representative sample.
Yes.
All use the word solution. Right? Mm. So sodium hydroxide was the solution, always left the word out.
Right.
Well, they said it was calcium chloride solution. And this also reminds me at this point, all of the authors of these columns were either plagiarizing each other or plagiarizing Wikipedia.
Probably plagiarizing Wikipedia.
Right. So they'd say sodium hydroxide, commonly used to make detergents
or paper. Or plagiarizing the statement that was sent out by the train company, which is earlier today, I'm quoting a press release, and it's like about halfway through, I realized that I was quoting it and stopped myself and said, I'm quoting a press release, by the way.
Nice of you to know.
But I'm quoting a statement, I think is what I said. But this is commonplace. Like, we get press releases, and this gets back to, I think, what launched Common Science in the first place, which is that the people who report on things in general don't necessarily have degrees in the things in general that they're reporting on. Like, they have degrees in journalism, so they know how to write a story, but they don't necessarily know the topic that they're writing on.
Yeah, and sometimes I think that's true, and sometimes I think it's just an underestimation of the reading public, but...
It might be a little of both. But when it comes to, like, science reporting, there are some people who have science degrees and are reporters, but not as many as you'd like.
Yeah. So, in the calcium chloride part, they said it's harmless, and it is harmless.
Yeah.
But they still talked about it a lot, because they got to say, well, it's a brine solution and could be used in clearing ice.
Mm-hmm.
But then... only 1% of the reporting, in my estimate, was on the ethanol. Okay, and there were two missing pieces of the ethanol story.
Right.
One is that ethanol commonly comes in, again, different solutions mixed with water, either 70% ethanol, 30% water, or 95.5, or in some cases, pure ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way to determine from the stories which of those it was. Well, this matters. If it's either the 95% ethanol or up to 100% ethanol, depending on what was being transported, and it's leaking out of a train car, this is a relatively flammable material. It has ethanol itself has a flash point of about 55 degrees Fahrenheit. What got almost no coverage was the third chemical that spilled from the overturned train was ethanol. And I thought this was interesting because, you know, people are familiar with ethanol. In fact, I may consume some in the relatively near future.
Mm.
And so they think, oh, it's ethanol. And all they would say is, and the last chemical
and
was
also ethanol.
Yeah. Well, again, if it's relatively pure ethanol, it has a flash point of about 55 or 57 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. What that means is if it's spilling out on the ground and the temperature is warmer than that, and I'm going to assume that it was on Sunday in D.C., then the vapor space above the leaking ethanol is flammable.
Mm-hmm.
So all you need is a relatively
like a
small
spark.
I mean, a static off of somebody's using a tool and gets a spark there. And so a little bit of sodium hydroxide seeping into the ground, you have to be careful not to scrape it up.
Yeah.
But that got 95% of the coverage.
Yeah.
4% of the coverage went to the completely benign calcium chloride spill.
And almost nothing went to the thing that might be dangerous.
Was, in my opinion, clearly the most significant hazard that existed on site.
All right.
And so I thought, well, here, several hundred miles away, we could talk to our listening audience about how that spill could have been reported little bit better. I'm not asking for... a PhD dissertation, but a couple of different...
At least a pH balanced dissertation.
Thank you. You're on it today with the science humor.
So to conclude from the reporting, point number one, if something sounds scary, that doesn't necessarily mean it is. And if it doesn't sound scary, that doesn't necessarily mean it isn't.
Yeah, and if it is harmful, it's not necessarily toxic.
Toxic. So be clear about what words mean, because what we often use words to mean is not necessarily scientifically what they mean, and we need to be careful of that as well.
And ethanol is a fire hazard.
And ethanol is a fire hazard, in addition to being made entirely of corn, which is basically the only thing I know about ethanol, but also a fire hazard. So, all right. Jeff Danner, Common Science, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.